So in setting up the day, I had on my heart, just because of how the last day in the Word went in the event, I had in my heart to ask Jim to share. So let's just keep it simple. I mean, that day on January 20th, about four months ago, we were in Montclair, and we were setting up much like we did today. About 20 minutes before setup, Jim wasn't feeling well. So a couple of us made sure Jim could have a seat and take a couple breaths. Then Jim had to go somewhere else to take a couple more breaths. And then it became pretty clear that something more serious was going on. But as that time grew close, we were almost at our 1 p.m. start time, and I was leading the meeting. And I believe I was back with Chris. Chris, we were sitting on the couch, right, back there? And my dad was there, and Jill was there, and others were in and out, and everybody was on it, but it wasn't looking great. So I went up to lead, much like I did today, started the meeting, and it was a pretty cool meeting that morning, because the way that it went was people really prayed with all their heart that morning, and it was really cool. I asked people to stop and speak in tongues, knowing that something was going on, but not quite what. So John Rue shared first. John Rue did a great job sharing. And as he was sharing a couple minutes in, I walked back to go see what was going on. All of this was happening. You're all faced this way, right? If you look back there, you could actually turn around. So look back there. The way that it looked in Montclair was different because most of it was walled off and there were a couple doors. There was a lot happening back there that I didn't know, and nor did the people that were gathered watching John teach face this way. So I went back to see what was going on, and I asked my dad, I said, hey, any news? And this is sad, but he said, yeah, the news is that he doesn't have a heartbeat. And I was like, wow, okay. I was like, what should I do? He goes, I have no idea. You have to pray. I don't know what to tell you on this one. You got to pray. You want to go back out? Go back out. You want to stay here? Stay here. I was like, I'm going back out. John, I think that's not the right word, but you had it planned and you thought your teaching was going to be shorter, if I'm right, John, right? And that teaching had gone on longer and longer. And as it was going, it didn't feel long, but a lot was happening back there, which we'll fill in the details of. But I'm just telling you from my first-person vantage point. And the next time I went, he was out the door. He was out in an ambulance, and the news was good. The news was that the first piece of news that I got had changed. So I thought it would be an awesome time here while we're gathered talking about God's power and while we have these things recording to hear a little bit about what God did for Jim Daggan. So let's first give Jim a round of applause. Love you, man.
Take it away.
Thanks. Well, you know, and what Jesse said is accurate. However, I've got a bunch of notes here that Jill was kind enough to put together as a history, because to be honest, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't. I cut out early. So, but I promise I'll stay for the whole meeting this time. But yeah, so it was interesting, a lot of things, and I just wanted to share some details. There's some medical stuff and stuff, but the biggest thing is what God can do. And there's three points I want to make in this, or think about this as we're going through it. First of all, God's more capable than anyone. If everybody says it can't be done, God's like, yeah, I can do this. You know, God can handle this, okay? Secondly, that intercessory prayer works. You guys prayed a lot for me. Saved my life. Okay, the third thing is that you can believe anything that God says in His Word. Even if your own brain goes, I can't, you can still change your mind to say, I can. No matter what anybody else says. Okay? So, as Jesse said, it was a heart attack, and he didn't read that right away, but at some point, it was Jill and Debbie Zeloff, who's a retired nurse. Jill and Debbie started checking, and Debbie said he has no pulse and no breathing. Okay? That's pretty much dead. But, so, yep. Jill said, hey, we're going to start CPR, and they did. So they moved. It's the only time I'll ever be in the ladies' room. So they had a couch in there, and so that's where I was. They laid me out there. And then, so they called 911, and the EMTs arrived in like 2 minutes. And the reason, because they just so happened to be 2 blocks away having lunch. So they got there very, very quickly, okay? So Jill and Zebby continued CPR, and then they brought one of those defibrillator things. The thing that zaps you, okay? You can look at the technical point, but that. And they decide they needed one, so they zap me. Okay, so that was good. So I came off the CPR machine, got into the ambulance, but then needed another one. Zap me again, okay? And then Jill prayed to God to save my life. Sorry. And the verse that came to her mind was 2 Kings 6:15 and 17. I'm going to read it here, but then I'll give you the background. It says, "And hope and host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his, Elisha's, servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he, Elisha, answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he can see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So they had the victory. It's kind of interesting. The king of Aram was trying to attack Israel, and every time he'd set up a trap or something like that, Israel would go around it. And he's like, where's the traitor? Who's telling us what's going on here? Come on, come on. Somebody's spilling the beans. And one of the guys says, well, you know, in Israel, there's this prophet guy. And God tells him everything that's going on. He tells you what's going on in your bedroom. He knows everything. And so he kind of flips out. So now he's after Elisha, right? So he does all this, gets one guy and his servant, Gehazi, tries to get together and get him killed, basically. And he can't do it. So what happens was they come in, they get ready to go in, and suddenly they got really low vision. They could barely see. And Elisha just marches out there and says, hey, you guys, you're in the wrong place. I'll lead you over to where you guys want to go. Oh, great, okay. So he leads them into Samaria. And Samaria is like their enemy territory. So they're like, oof. Then they could see. And what they saw was a big table that was laid out with a banquet. And said, have a seat, sit down and eat. I could just see that, you know, they're like, you know, they're like, what's going on? Finally, they finish eating and said, okay, now what? And Elisha says, go home. So they did, and it said there was peace thereafter. Right. So God has ways of doing things that we don't even think about. God, we can do, you know, God can do what he says he can do, and even more. So at any rate, back to the ambulance. So I got stable, and then they took me to a place called Mountainside Hospital, excuse me. And once again, as you said, a lot of people didn't know what was going on. And that was good. It wasn't like we wanted to keep it a secret. But what happened was, because of the severity of this issue, it would have distracted everybody from the word. It would have been like, you know, what's going on, this kind of thing.
Yeah, in retrospect, so Jim was out kind of just in time. And again, all that was miraculous. The timing was miraculous. The people working on him were believers who worked with the Spirit of God. And then the professionals came in. And in retrospect, I was sitting there in the front, and I could hear beeps and stuff. I had no idea what was going on. I thought it was like environmental noise. I was like, I don't remember this weird noise or something. I didn't remember any of those beeps. And they were working on Jim. And by the time, I'll do this one part real quick.
Sure.
I went back again to check my dad had told me you were gone. And I was like, we got to finish now. What do I do? He's like, I don't know. You got to pray. And I was like, okay. So I sat down. I was going to stand up to go like I do to announce what to do for break. Again, not quite sure what it looked like back there. And my dad stood up at the same time, tapped his chest, and he got up and talked about California. What he had done essentially was say something that was a blessing, and he told the story. But it bought another 10 minutes so that everything would be clear. And really, many of the believers that day enjoyed two teachings of God's word. There was somebody who spoke in tongues for the first time. I believe she's here today. And someone else who got prayed for and got healed, and a lot of people got blessed, and we fellowshipped and had a great day. And God was so kind that day to sort of have all that happen with a good amount of privacy. So, okay.
Yeah, God can multitask.
Yeah.
Okay? He can do that.
Yeah.
So Bob and Jill stayed with me the whole time. Debbie drove Jill to the hospital, and it only took a few minutes. God cleared a path. They got there before the ambulance. So God can do traffic, too. Yeah. God can handle that, okay? So I was taken to a catheter lab where a guy named Dr. Lappa was there and was ready for me. So they, Joe, Bob, and Debbie went to this doctor's lounge, and they just hung out there. But Dr. Lapa kept coming out and telling them, keep praying, because prayer works. So while I was there, my heart kept stopping and starting, and they'd start to zap it and start. So total, I got defibrillated for 8 times, okay? That doesn't, yeah, exactly. Well, what? You know, I hope I don't get the electric bill. But it was a deal. It was a deal. And so the whole system of the heart was affected, so yeah. They put in a temporary pacemaker and a balloon pump to help push the blood out of the lower part of my heart. So then Dr. Lapa said, we need a stronger pump. We're going to get this thing called an Impella pump. So they got that. But to do that, they couldn't do that at Mountainside, so I had to be transported to another hospital, Newark Beth Israel. And that was also God. And I'll talk
that happened about that, that evening, right?
Yeah, yeah. So normally you go in, you know, this hospital is like one of the best hospitals in New Jersey, especially for the whole cardiac care and everything like that. So you would think, well, okay, wait a minute. We got to get a room. We got some. Had a room, had a transport, everything right away. There was no delay. God's still working. So then then we got to Beth Israel, and Bob and Joe were greeted by the head cardiologist. And he was like, well, you know, this is really bad, and he's probably not going to make it, and it's all going to be bad, and he's probably going to die.
Did he sound like that, Bob?
Well, I don't know, quite. Not quite. I'm exaggerating for effect.
I like that.
But, I mean, he basically had nothing but bad news, which probably is what he was trained to say, so that people, you don't say, it'll be fine. Oh, maybe not. You know, you don't want to do that. So, yeah, exactly. So they went through and did that, and then Jill renamed him Dr. Cranky Pants and said, I don't want to see him anymore, and he never showed up again. So that was pretty good. So God can take care of that stuff. God is more capable than anyone. Mm-hmm. God is more capable than anyone, and we need to remember that. So I was on a ventilator with oxygen to help me breathe. I was hooked up to an Impella heart pump and a monitor, and there was, Bob took a picture of it. There's like 19, a whole wall of machines. I didn't see him.
It's not exaggerating. There was this tree of bag-holding things that I've never seen so many bags. And then there was even stuff outside the room. I don't know if that's in the picture, but there was a lot.
Yeah. You know, so, and it was interesting because that cardiac place was the best place for me. Jill was with me the whole time. She would pray. She'd read scripture. She'd read, she'd play music from Marvelite Fellowship. And, you know, some of these other, the band and stuff. And it was interesting because all the people that came in, the nurses, the doctors, the interns, all that level of stuff, anybody that came in, they were really respectful. And some people would stop, and, you know, when she was praying, and they just stop, you know. And when they were listening to music, they'd be tapping their feet. You know, one nurse actually came in and asked if she could pray, and then she spoke in tongues. I don't think it was the first time, but she did it anyway. But it was neat. So we had a lot of opportunities, or I did once I came too, but a lot of opportunities to speak the word and glorify God and say, here, and they couldn't deny it because you can't argue with results. Say, here's somebody that doesn't make it well, he's making it, okay?
Yep.
So Ken Shum immediately stepped up, took care of the fellowship, kept running that and teaching and everything like that, and that was great. And I know that all you guys prayed. And there were actually people that came to the, you know, nurses and stuff said, well, our church will pray. I'll take it. I'll take it. No problem, right? So they prayed for the hospital. They prayed for the nurses. They prayed for the doctors. They prayed for the equipment because there was actually a time when a piece of equipment wouldn't work. And finally, they traded it out for a new one. Mm-hmm. So I was sedated for the first 3 weeks. As the doctor said, I gave you a sedation vacation. I said, okay. But occasionally, they'd reduce the dosage to see where I was, you know, was, because one of the things, concerns about this is there's brain damage. But, you know, they'd say, well, what's your name? Well, you know, where are you? And I'd say, okay, and I'd give them a thumbs up because I couldn't talk, because I had both a ventilator tube and a feeding tube. So a lot of stuff going down my throat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was interesting. So after the few days, the doctors consulted and decided I needed a larger Impella pump. Okay, so they were, and I was on 3 blood thinners. So they need to search the specialists on site. So they got everybody ready to do that. And there was the main doctor there, Dr. Said, I think, had everybody in there looking at, just before they do this, they're looking at like a sonogram of your heart. So, you know, they're looking and watching. And the head doctor goes, hey, everybody over here now. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, look at this. Last week, it's now healed. This thing over here is taken care of. This is working. Oh, by the way, the pacemaker is not working, but his heart's pumping anyway. So there was another doctor, Dr. Zach. So, and he, originally I was in CCU, or ICU, intensive care. And after a while, I went down to constant care, which is good, but it took a while to do that. Mm-hmm. But even the doctors, they're on another floor now, all these people that have seen, but they would still come down and visit me. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, because they were amazed, because I could see the results, and they were pretty amazed. So, yeah. So then my kidneys weren't functioning. They're okay. They just, as one doctor said, hey, you got punched in the face. How long does it take to come back? So, or as Carolyn Gittinger says, kidneys are the drama queens. So, but we're still working on that. By the way, just as an aside, I've been going to dialysis, but there's a number that they look at, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, keratin, something like that. But at any rate, so it started out like up high, came down some, and just last week it's come down some more. So even those people are like, oh, and almost everybody else in there has permanent kidney damage.
Yep.
But they're like, they're getting a view of what God can do, and that's really cool. And that's something we've been doing as much as we can, is bragging about, hey, God's doing this. You know, people were seeing daily improvements, and they're like, this doesn't happen. You say, well, it does with God. So we got to do that and talk to these things. So then I couldn't keep up with, the machine couldn't come up with the fluids being pumped into me. You know, I had a whole bunch of fluid being pumped from who knows. I had 19 lines in my body. They went to look for someplace else to draw blood, and they couldn't find it. So I guess they didn't need to. But at any rate, so the dialysis machine didn't work all the time. This wouldn't work. And then they said, well, you know what? We're going to have to go in and drain some of this fluid because it's getting into your lungs. You can't breathe with that. So you're going to do it, but then there was a delay and then something else, and they had to get done. So about 3 days later, they're ready to do it. Go in, look at the sonogram. The woman's like, it's no fluid. We don't have to do this. So it was really neat. God was doing some really wonderful things. I did have that breathing tube, but it was interesting. On February 14th, Valentine's Day, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was sleeping, and I went to go scratch my nose, and I just pulled the breathing tube out. And they're like, what? Oh, well, he's breathing. I guess that's okay. You know? And the whole thing kept going like that, you know. They just had to look at something. We got to do this. We're doing the best we can. Get it up. Get ready. And then, oh, we don't have to do it. You know, so a lot of the healing was extremely accelerated. This is not something that they were used to seeing at all. So then they said, well, because you've had these tubes and everything down your throat, because it affects the vocal cords, then you're going to have therapy to do all this stuff and to talk again. I had to be able to talk and to swallow and that sort of thing. But they were going to do a tracheotomy, you know, where they cut a hole in your neck.
Oh.
So that wasn't going to be fun. So they said, okay. But after the third day, the therapist goes, you don't need it. Just keep doing. So I had to learn how to swallow. I could do that. So if you give me some ice cream, I could do it. But that didn't work. That didn't work, okay? So then what happened was I went to go. So after this thing at Mountainside and then after the time at Newark Beth Israel, then they finally said, okay, you're now going to go to the constant care, which is a little less, and then we're going to send you to cardiac rehab, a cardiac rehab thing. So it's interesting because at cardiac rehab, it was very interesting. I got a lot of it was physical rehab, but to check stuff to see that I could get my strength back. You know, can you get into the tub by yourself? Can you get in a car by yourself? All these things. And at this point, I'd been in Newark Beth Israel for about 45 days. Now, the general thinking is for every day that you're in the hospital, it takes 3 to 4 days to get your strength back and to get everything. So that would have meant 135 to 180 days in rehab. On the 16th day, I went home. On the 16th day, I went home. Another miracle.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yay, God. Yay, God. So, and a lot of it has been a great thing we had in the rehab place. They actually, we wanted to do fellowship, and Ken and I taught, and we actually brought everybody in, and they gave us a nice room that we could have, fancy chairs and all this stuff and everything. And so people say, well, I'll come, I'll come. Nobody else come, but there's this one woman. So here's the room, and then in the back of the room's like a supply closet. So just as we get started, she goes back in the supply closet, didn't come out till we were done. I think she was there listening incognito or something like
good.
That. But yeah, so we had a great time to speak the word to people, to show them stuff like that, and to see the things that we could do and things that God was done. God's not done healing. Thank you, you guys, for all of your prayers, because that really, really mattered. That really, really did it, because intercessory prayer works. So I'm glad to be here, and
we're glad you're here.
Love you.
Thanks, you okay?
Yeah.
I got you. Can you make it back okay?
Yeah.